礼拜一开始这一段很重要很重要的话语。
Last week we started on this very important passage.
我个人在思想这一段圣经的时候
，When I'm meditating upon this passage，
我清楚的觉悟到希伯来书的作者是一个人抵挡一个民族。
I clearly understand that the author of Hebrews is fighting against an entire people.
在他写这本书的日子，抵挡整个历史。
On the days that he wrote this, he was fighting against the entire history.
这个胆子是大的不得了。
It is a great burden.
他到底是谁呢
？Who was this person?
他甚至连名字都没有告诉我们。
We do not even know his name.
所以是一个名不见经传的人。
He was a person that is unknown.
怎么可以一个人抵挡整个民族呢
？How can he fight against the entire people?
怎么在一封信里面抵挡整个历史呢
？How could he write one letter to fight against history?
因为他心清楚知道他所要传讲的东西。
Because he clearly knew what he wanted to write about.
是令冠带而藏心，放诸四海而皆准，那绝对真理的信息。
He knew that the message was from the absolute truth for all humanity.
这是一件很重要的心态问题。
This is a very important question of attitude.
这告诉我们一个人把神的道讲解出来的时候
，It tells us when we speak of the word of God.
他是代表绝对者向相对的世界发言。
A person who speaks like that represents the absolute God speaking to the relative world.
今天整个基督教最大的失败在哪里呢
？Where is the greatest failure for Christianity today?
就是信息以相对的妥协者的身份来传讲。
And that is the message of God is preached in a relative compromised position.
我们的听众却以绝对者的精神来反抗。
But the people are listening to it with attitude of the absolute.
这是很可怜的一件事。
This is something very pathetic.
犹太民族是一个很绝对化的一个民族。
The Jews are people that treat the absolutes as important.
犹太民族对自己的观念、自己的这个信仰坚定到一个程度，是绝对不能随便动摇的。
They are so firm about their own belief and their faith that they are not shaken easily.
天下有哪一个民族像他们被放在所有的州、所有的国的许多不同的地带中间漂流全球？
Which other race in this world has been separated and dispersed like them all over the world?
天下有什么民族像犹太民族经过一千多年的流亡，丧失他们的国家，离开他们的本土？
Which other generation and people are like the Jews who have been dispersed all over the world against their own will?
但是当锡安主义复兴的时候
，But when Zionism came about，
建立一个以色列国的时候
，When the concept of building the nation of Israel，
他们就从各国各方各民中间出来，回到本土，组成我们现在所知道的以色列国。
They all came from all corners of the world to build the Israel we know today.
这个国是一个非常强硬的心智的国。
And this country is a country with very strong attitude.
到底是什么东西构成这个民族这种倔强的个性呢
？What is the elements that created this attitude?
所有亡掉的国从来没有恢复的。
All countries that have gone have never been revived.
罗马帝国在哪里呢
？Where is the Roman Empire?
希腊帝国在哪里
？Where is the Greek Empire?
所有最伟大的帝国都一去不回头的。
All the great empires have fallen and never came back.
全世界只有一个民族
，There is only one race.
他们回到自己的本土。
Who returned to where they came from?
纪念他们从前的信仰。
And remembered their faith.
他们重新建立他们家园的时候。
And started rebuilding their homeland.
绝对不再低头。
And absolutely will not bow down again.
绝对的精神。
Such an attitude of the absolute.
是一种宗教的终极性的一个精神。
It is something that is extreme in faith.
因为宗教所要求的就是终极性的绝对。
Because the faith expects us to be absolute in our extreme.
宗教就把自己这个追求终极性绝对的心智先绝对化，先终极化。
And the faith will first absolutize this attitude within itself.
但是绝对加上一个化，就表示经过一个过程。
But it means that there is a process of absolutizing.
如果经过一个过程才到了绝对，就变。就证明原先不是绝对。
It simply means that if you have to go through a process to be absolute, it was not absolute in the beginning.
绝对与相对不同的地方，就是绝对是本身，绝对不需要一个过程的。
The difference between being absolute and being relative is that absolute in itself need not go through a process.
神是绝对的绝对。
God is the absolute absolute.
神不需要经过过程。
He does not need to go through any process.
过程神学的本身就真正错误在不懂得什么叫做神。
And progressive theology in itself fail in not understanding what God is.
其实我这一段是很难听的事情。
These are in difficult things to understand.
但是你把这个原则明白了以后
，But when you understand the principles,
你就知道作为希伯来书的作者，面对这个民族，面对这个宗教的绝对精神，面对这个宗教的自我绝对化的过程，是何等困难的传达出信息出来。
You will understand the difficulty the author of Hebrew faced when he faced the people with absolute attitudes.
今天我们看见的许多所谓的绝对都相对化。
Today we see many people making relative things that ought to be absolute.
后现代主义一个很重要的一个标志。
This is a very important mark of postmodernism.
在过去早期的宗教里面，都把自己当作是绝对的。
In early faith, many faith think of themselves as absolute.
不容易被改变。
And so they cannot change easily.
但是到了后现代的时候,
but when postmodern times come,
我们就把许多的绝对把它相对化。
We treat a lot of absolute things as relative.
所以我们看见这个世界有相对的被绝对化的一件历史事实。 有一些是绝对化被相对化的历史过程。
And we see that there are historical facts that are absolute, but they made relative, and relative things made absolute.
这两件都是很可怜的事情。
These are very pitiful things.
只有真正的绝对才可以被认为是真正的绝对。
Only the true absolute can be considered as absolute.
当绝对被相对化的时候,
when an absolute thing is made relative,
我们就把仇敌当作朋友了。
We will treat our enemies as our friends.
相对被绝对化的结果,
but when we absolutize things that are relative,
我们就把兄弟当作仇敌,
we will think of our brothers as enemies.
那么希伯来书的作者写这封信是面对谁写的呢?
The author of Hebrew wrote this to what audience?
面对希伯来人写的。
He was facing the Hebrews.
希伯来人怎么样看待他自己呢?
What sort of attitude did the Hebrews have?
非常绝对, 认为自己已经达到了终极。
They were absolutely sure that they are at the end.
因为他们领受的真理是神亲自给的。
They believed that the truth came from God himself.
他们敬拜的上帝是最高最高的上帝。
And the God they worship is the highest God.
他们领受的律法是永远不需要更改的。
And the laws that they have received need not change forever.
但神把律法给他们是透过天使传下来的。
And the laws were believed to be given to them by the angels.
摩西成了神人之间领受律法的中保。
And Moses became the mediator that received the law.
所以他们领受的律法成了全世界一切发展的真正根基。
The law that they have received became the source of all laws of the world.
这样的尊荣,
such an honor,
这样的自傲,
such an arrogance,
人不是没有理由的,
has its own reasons.
如果一个人骄傲, 你不要先批评他,
if a person is arrogant, do not criticize him.
你要先查他有没有骄傲的本钱。
First, you must find out whether he can be arrogant.
如果一个人有本钱而不骄傲, 倒是反常的。
If a person is very qualified and not arrogant, it is abnormal.
但一个有骄傲却没有本钱的人, 倒是太过夸张的。
But when a person is arrogant without the reason for being arrogant, that's not right.
犹太人的自傲是情有可原的。
The Jews were arrogant for a purpose.
因为他们在众民族中间是唯一有足够的任何条件使他们可以骄傲的。
They were the only people among the races that qualified to be arrogant.
有哪一个民族像犹太民族?
Which other races like the Jews?
哪一种人像希伯来人呢?
How many people are like the Hebrews?
按照人数来说, 全世界最少的数目的民族拿到最多诺贝尔奖金的就是他们。
By numbers, the proportion of people who receive Nobel Prize would the highest proportion of people. It doesn't matter whether it's in music, philosophy, or science, they had produced great people. The Jews produced the greatest musicians we have seen.
19世纪的这一个 Mendelssohn, Bartholdy, 20世纪的 Ernest Bloch 都是他们的人。
In 19th and 20th century, there are important musicians that came from the Jews.
Horowitz, the others, 这个 Rubinstein 是他们的人。
Or important pianists like Horowitz and Rubinstein belong to them.
这个民族太伟大了。
They are great people.
Einstein 是他们的人。
Albert Einstein was a Jew.
还有许多许多伟大，但是却不能真正按正统的人，甚至连马克思也是他们的人。
Even Karl Marx was a Jew.
所以你要把什么民族跟这个民族做一个比较呢？
Which other people can be compared to the Jews?
当他们进到任何一个学术的范围做研究的时候，
when they enter into any academic field as research,
他们可以达到最高顶端的这种第一流的成就。
They are always able to reach the pinnacle of success.
当然谈到对世界的贡献的时候，
when we talk about contribution to the world,
摩西的律法是全世界法律的根基。
The laws of Moses is the foundation of all the laws of the world.
在美国国会大厦里面，
in the House of Congress in
America, 围绕着这个顶边的那些最伟大的法家发修的人物，在历史中间直到今天。
There are many statues of important people of law up there.
无论哪个民族,
it doesn't matter which race,
最伟大的化学家都被列在里面。
The greatest person of law is up there.
Hammurabi,
from Hammurabi,
到 Colin,
until Colin,
一直到这个 Montesquieu,
and Montesquieu,
到 Rousseau,
and Rousseau,
都被列在上面。
All of them are remembered that way.
但我注意看的时候，最重要的一个是在总统站着演讲， 对国会交代他的这个政策的那个座位的上面的名称是摩西。
But I saw the most important place right on top of where the president would speak to the Congress.
是真的吗？
And that was Moses.
摩西的法律是不是成为全世界法律最重要的基础呢？
Is the law of Moses the foundation of all laws? Yes.
今天全世界为什么每一个礼拜放假一天呢？
Why do we have the Sabbath on Sunday?
这是根据第四条安息日的规定。
This is in accordance to the fourth commandment
on Sabbath. 无论你是共产主义、资本主义，你自由国家、极权国家，都是七天放假一天。
It doesn't matter which kind of political system you have that one day rest.
这是从摩西的律法里面出来。
And this came from Mosaic law.
摩西的四条诫命的第四条。
And this is the fourth of the Ten Commandments.
是人类没有办法改变的，对周期同休息之间、作息之间平衡的一个规矩。
This is a law that concerns harmony in our lifestyle.
苏联共产党曾经两次有更改这个事情。
There was two attempts in communist Russia.
为什么一定要用七天休息一天？
They asked why do we need to rest one day or seven?
试试看把一个礼拜改成五天。
Maybe we should change the week to 5-day week.
拜一拜二拜三拜四礼拜。
From Monday to Thursday.
拜一拜二拜三拜四礼拜。
The 5th day.
结果试验不久又感到做人很没有意思。
But after a while, they find that it's difficult.
厌烦得不得了。
It is very boring.
一下子就一个礼拜过去了。
Because suddenly the week passed so fast.
再改过一次的时候。
When they change it again.
一个礼拜十天。
10-day week.
拜一拜二拜三拜四拜五拜六拜七拜八拜九礼拜。
Well, 9 days and then one rest.
结果每一次等礼拜天来，等的半死等不到，感到做人很没有味道。
And still there's problem because you've got to wait a long time for the week to end to come.
乖乖回到一个礼拜去。
And they return to the
为什么呢？
Day.
这是神的律法。
This is the law of God.
这是犹太人的贡献。
This is the contribution of the Jews.
这是希伯来民族对全世界的影响。
The influence of the Hebrews to the rest of the
world. 上帝六日做工，第七天就安息。
God worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh.
上帝说你要守安息的，你要分别为圣。
God said, keep the Sabbath holy.
第十条诫命对世界影响多大呢？
What about the 10th commandment?
你四条诫命，你不可贪爱别人的东西。
Do not covet the neighbor's possession.
你不可贪爱别人的妻子。
Do not covet his wife.
你不可贪爱别人的房产。
Or his houses.
你不可贪爱别人的土地。
Or his land.
你不可贪爱别人的伙计。
Or his servants.
你不可以贪爱别人的仆婢。
Or his employees.
这是联合国定人有私产的权利的一个人权基本的条件。
This became the basic principle of ownership of things for men.
摩西的律法对全世界的影响太大了。
The law of Moses had great influence on the world.
我们当然不能一点一点细细的谈。
Surely we cannot go into details here.
这个民族有足够的本钱骄傲。
Which meant actually they are qualified to be
arrogant. 当他们听到他们律法的时候。
When they spoke about their law.
这个民族的神圣性跟神的道的神圣性结合起来了。
The sacredness of the people is joined with the sacredness of God's word.
希伯来书的作者写第七章的他要做什么事情？
What is the purpose of chapter 7 of Hebrews?
他要做一个大的挑战。
He was giving a great challenge.
他要做一个大的革命。
The author wanted a revolution.
这是历史上最勇敢的一段话之一。
This is one of the most courageous passages in history.
所以我再思想第七章的时候，
When I think about chapter 7 again,
这个作者是胆大包天。
I think this author was courageous.
一人抗拒全族。
A single person fighting against the race.
一时抗拒万代。
A single moment for the all of humanity.
他怎么讲呢？
What did he say?
如果律法的条例可以使人完全的话，
If the law can make man perfect,
为什么要另外立一个祭司呢？
Why is there a need for another priest?
这句话的口气大得不得了。
This is an arrogant statement.
他就是要希伯来人醒过来。
He wanted the Hebrews to awake.
你们认为绝对的。
That which you think is absolute.
是真正的绝对吗？
Is it truly absolute?
你们认为的完全。
That which you think is perfect.
真正的完全吗？
Is it truly perfect?
你们认为神的道就是这样。
You think that the word of God is like this?
真正的神一切所有的道的总原则吗？
Is this the true general principle of the word of God?
希伯来人啊。
Hebrews.
你的祖宗就是我的祖宗。
Your ancestor is the same as mine.
你的律法就是我的律法。
Your laws are the same as mine.
你所尊重的道就是我所信的道。
The word you respect is the same as mine.
让我挑战你。
But let me challenge you.
让我给你革命性的观念。
Let me give you a revolution.
如果这个已经完全的话。
If this is indeed perfect.
为什么一定要另外立一个祭司呢？
Why is there a need for another priest?
为什么另外立像麦基洗德等次的祭司呢？
Why is there a priest in the order of Melchizedek?
立下另外一个照着麦基洗德等次做祭司的这件事情，是在律法赐下以后，不是以前。
This matter came about after the law came.
哦，我发现了希伯来书的作者是很伟大的解经家。
I see that the author of Hebrew was a great Bible expositioner.
他的观念清楚到一个地步。
His concept was so clear.
对前后绝对不放松。
That he had the correct order of things.
对次序决定抓紧。
And he was very firm on that.
所以这个次序、重点、关系，应当成为解经的重要的原则。
When we study the Bible, we must understand the priorities and order of things.
许多人以为解经就是把这些圣经套在那些圣经，那些圣经背起来解释这个圣经，这就叫做解经。
Some people think that we just mix and match different passages. That's it.
希伯来书的作者的解经是非常创新的。
The author of Hebrew has a creative way of interpretation.
他真正抓到总原则来解经。
And he understood the general principle.
所以他很清楚地提到这件事情。
He clearly spoke of this.
你要知道历史启示定一个新的祭司是按照墨基洗德的等次，这件事是在律法赐下以后的事情。
You must understand that this setting up of the order of Melchizedek came about after the law.
无形中他很清楚看见神的一步一步的启示是越来越清楚的。
So he clearly sees the revelation of God.
所以这个人绝对不走撒都该派的路线。
And this person will not move in the way of the Sadducees.
因为撒都该派的路线只接受呢摩西五经，没有别的其他的东西。
These people only accept the first five books of the Bible.
好，摩西五经里面完全没提到复活的事情。
And there is no resurrection within this.
撒都该派的人却绝对不相信有死人复活的事情。
And the Sadducees do not believe in resurrection.
法利赛派跟撒都该派不同的地方在哪里呢？
The difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
法利赛派相信神的启示在摩西五经结束以后还继续下来。
The Pharisees believe in further revelation after the Pentateuch.
所以希伯来书的作者是比较撒都该派更先进的，他更周全的明白神启示的进展性。
The author of Hebrews then understood the progressive nature of the revelation of God.
所以呢，律法赐下以后，
after the law has been given,
五经结束以后，
after the first five books
have ended, 神还有话。
There are further revelations.
赐下律法之后，
after the law has come down,
神又再立一个祭司。
God has set another priest.
启示立的祭司。
And this priest was set by
oath.
The Lord has sworn.
主绝不后悔说。
And will not change his mind.
我立你做祭司。
You are a priest forever.
永远的祭司。
A priest forever.
不是照着亚伦的等次。
Not by the order of Aaron.
照着墨基洗德的等次。
But by the order of Melchizedek.
这样的我们看见了这个希伯来书的作者。
Here we see the author of Hebrew.
胆大到一个地步。
Was so courageous.
胸有成竹。
That he was confident.
绝对的把握。
With absolute confidence.
推翻整个以色列人自我绝对化的宗教终极性的观念。
To turn around the absolute concept of the Hebrews.
所以到了第十二节他怎么讲呢？
When we reach verse 12.
既然祭司的制度，祭司的这个知识已经更改了。
Since there's a change in the order of the priests,
律法也一定要更改。
There must also be a change in the law.
这句话单字大得不得了。
This is a bold statement.
谁可以对希伯来民族讲这样的话呢？
Who dare say this to the Hebrews?
你们开玩笑吗？
Are you not joking?
律法不是人写的。
The laws were not written by men.
律法不能人赐下来的。
It was not given by men.
是摩西在西乃山上40昼夜与神面对面，最后上帝亲自写下赐给他，你要他更改吗？
It was written by God given to Moses after 40 days of Mount Sinai.
这个单子太大了。
It's a bold challenge.
我每次讲同样一段信息，再想再讲的时候，我再惊奇。所以我相信这本圣经是令人惊奇永远不完的一本书。
And every time I look at this, I'm surprised with new revelation, and I think these surprises will never end.
律法一定要更改。
The law must change.
谁讲这样的话？
Who said this?
全世界历史除了这个就希伯来书的作者，没有人讲到这样硬、这样绝的话语。
The author of Hebrews was the only one in the entire history of man to say.
既然祭司的责任更改了，
since there's a change in the priesthood,
律法也就更改。
There must be a change in the law.
他提到一个关联性的意义的解释。
He understood the meaning in the interaction.
因为第十一节他怎么讲呢？
Because in verse 11 he says,
这个律法是在祭司的这种职事的任内领受下来的。
The law is received under this order and functioning of the priest.
祭司就把律法宣读给百姓来知道。
And the priest taught the people the law.
所以这个祭司的国度，
in the concept of the priesthood,
是以律法做基础的。
It's founded on the foundation of the law.
律法的传讲。
The preaching of the law
is
the responsibility of the priest.
祭司就站在人面前，代表神宣布律法。
The priest stands in front of men representing God, reading out the law.
祭司也代表人在神面前献上 礼品。
The priest also represent man to give atonement in front of God.
献上祭物。
All kinds of sacrifice.
祭司的祭制度跟这个律法的存在是共存的一个体。
The system of the priesthood therefore coexists with that of the law.
那么祭司的制度是在律法的时代已经定下来。
The system of the priesthood came from the time of the law.
等律法时期过了以后
，After the time of the law，
上帝另外用启示立了一个祭司。
God used His own revelation and set another priest.
祭司的这是更改了。
And so the system of priesthood has
律法要不要更改呢
？Will we need to change the law？
希伯来书的作者就追讨得很厉害。
The author of Hebrew investigated this.
律法一定要更改。
And said the law must change.
那么他讲这样绝的话语的。
When he says such bold statements,
引起来的一定是不同的两个反应。
Surely there must be two different responses.
人顺服，人开通，人了解就顺从，跟随主来走。
The first one will be obedience from understanding.
第二就是那绝对化的终极性的观念，使他们更强硬的抗拒、抵挡，就排斥他所传教的信息。
The second one will be objection because of the absolute concept that he has.
这本书在2000年以前已经写下来。
This book has been written for 2000 years.
2000年以后，犹太民族还不肯接受。
But still today, the Jews will not accept.
甚至很清楚告诉我们，这个最有智慧的民族，靠着被造的理性。没有办法明白上帝永恒的道。
Clearly, we see these people that have been given the greatest intelligence cannot understand using their fallen reason.
有哪一个民族他们的 IQ 比犹太人更高
？Which other race has a higher IQ than the Jews？
有哪一个民族在宗教的经验里面比犹太人更强
？Which other people had a bigger understanding of religious faith？
每一个小小的民族信主。明白福音真理的人比例上都会比犹太人更多
But there are more people in any race that believe in Jesus Christ than the Jews
那些研究经学的人也离开耶稣基督
Those who study the scripture leave Jesus Christ
今天我们许多人以为呢有了更高的修为有了更多的神学的知识我们就可以做更好的传道人
Today many people think that if they are theologically even great、have more theological achievement they can be greater teachers
事实不是如此
In reality it's not like this
事实是神有没有开你的窍，使你清楚明白那属灵的奥秘的这个关键。
The most important thing is whether you are enlightened by God to understand the mystery of the gospel.
这就知道神的主权、神的施恩，不是在乎人的知识可以造就、可以强求。
The sovereignty of God and His grace is not within our powers.
马克思是念神学的。
Karl Marx understood theology.
达尔文是念神学的。
Darwin understood theology.
这个还有许多其他19世纪最大的哲学家是念神学的。
Many great philosophers in the 19th century understood theology.
尼采是念神学的。
Nietzsche understand.
Kierkegaard 是念神学的。
Kierkegaard also understand.
这些人中间的许多以上的道背道而驰。
All these theologians actually are against the will of God.
为什么呢
？Why？
因为他们头脑都在一波的时候，他们的心没有被圣灵开通他的心窍，他就没有办法。明白上帝的话。
Because the more they understood in their reason, their hearts were not enlightened by the Holy Spirit.
不但如此，圣经被曲解的时候，是被许多的经学家所曲解。
And when the Bible is misinterpreted, it's always done so by Bible commentaries.
这是一件很可怜的事情。
This is something very pitiful.
所以我个人在想，希伯来书的作者的解经是非常伟大的。
I think that the author of Hebrew has a very great way of interpreting the Bible.
这一点上面。
From this particular point,
超过保罗，超过彼得，超过雅各，超过约翰。
He was greater than the apostle Peter, Paul, James, or John.
因为诗篇一百第一十篇第一到第四节那些话。
Because Psalms 110 verses 1 to 4.
竟然在塔木，在这个 Mishnah， 在 Targum， 就许多犹太经学的解释中间，没有人看出来到底是什么意思。
Are never interpreted in all the Jewish scripture.
不但如此
，Not only that，
在这些话里面，只有一个人的心又开始的时候提过。
Only one person mentioned it in the New Testament.
那是耶稣基督自己。
And that was Jesus Christ himself.
耶稣基督把这句话呢，很清楚的提出一个挑战性的问号，使那些经学家全部头昏脑胀。
Jesus Christ gave a great challenge to the scribes about this.
耶稣怎么问他们
？What did Jesus say?
弥赛亚到底是不是大卫的子孙
？Is the Messiah the descendant of David?
那些穷追 这他们的那些经学家，他们马上回答：是大卫的子孙。
The teachers of the law said yes, indeed.
弥赛亚是大卫的子孙。
The Messiah will be the son of David.
一定从犹大支派生下来。
From the tribe of Judah.
因为他也生在伯利恒。
Because he will be born in Bethlehem.
大卫的子孙。
He is the son of David.
这个是不必否定。
Is not denied.
不必怀疑的。
There is no doubt about it.
这个犹太经学家早就肯定。早就绝对的事情。
All teachers of the law affirm this.
那么呢？请问，耶稣就对这句话呢再讲下去的时候
，And when Jesus spoke further,
大卫的子孙是基督，为什么大卫叫自己的孙子做主呢
？How can David call his own descendant Lord?
你会不会对你的孙子说主啊主啊
？Will you call your own grandchildren Lord?
可能你孙子说爸爸你要主什么？你怎么叫我做主呢？所以这是不可能的事情。
This is something impossible.
如果基督是大卫的子孙
，If Christ is the son of David，
为什么大卫称他的子孙做主的
？Why did David announce him as Lord？
这犹太人没有办法回答这个问题。
This is question that the Jews cannot understand.
所以他们越高级的思想，越研究的这个知识分子，越对圣经越不懂。
The more they study, the more they are confused about the Bible.
所以这件事情是基督最先提的。
This is a question that Christ first raised. After he raised the question,
后来保罗所有的书信也没有再发挥。
The apostle Paul did not pick it up.
彼得也没有再发挥。
Or the apostle Peter.
雅各也没有再发挥。
Or the apostle James.
所有的使徒都没有再谈这个事情。
All the apostles did not pick it up.
只有希伯来书的作者发现。
Only the author of Hebrews.
所以我想他的创新，他的发现的能力，他的这个把它终极性的归纳简述的能力，从他的发挥性的能力是高超的不得了。
And I think this is a great man who is creative and able to analyze this.
虽然我们不知道希伯来书的作者是谁
，although we do not know who he is，
很可能他不是使徒那一代的人。
He may not be from the apostolic age。
可能他是比使徒们更迟一些时候的人。
He could be a person who came later。
所以他的第二章就是主亲自讲的，后来听见了再传给我们的。
That's why in chapter 2 he says this is spoken by the Lord and spread to us by those who
follow. 这在属灵的意义上岂不是暗示他是第三代的基督徒吗？
There is an implication then that he may be a third generation Christian.
无论希伯来书的作者是谁，
It doesn't matter who he was.
这个人的发现，
His discovery.
这个人的真知灼见，
And his ability to understand and analyze.
他对神启示的总原则的敏感度，
The sensitivity he has towards a general principle.
圣灵马上所写的列在正面。
It was the Holy Spirit that inspired him, and we have it in the canonized Bible.
回头到那个信息的重点到底在哪里？
Where is the theme of this message?
如果基督是大卫的子孙，
If Christ is the descendant of David,
大卫为什么称他为主呢？
Why did David address him as Lord?
犹太人因为尊主名为圣，
Because the Jews treat the word Lord as sacred.
敬畏上帝到这样深的地步。
They fear God to such an extent.
所以他们就遵守地下三条诫命，你不要妄称耶和华的名。
And they are very sensitive to the third commandment. Do not take the name of the Lord in vain.
所以他们抄圣经的时候
，When they copy the scripture,
抄到主神耶和华，他马上站起来去洗手，然后才站着抄那一句话。
When they come to the word Lord Jehovah or God, they will go and clean themselves and then
they come back. 同一节圣经要出现耶和华的名字三次。
If the same verse came three times,
没有例外的要去洗手三次才能洗。
Without exception, he will go and wash his hand three times.
所以他们就把这个字用另外一个字讲的时候不提耶和华。
They will not use the word Jehovah.
因为耶和华的名不能随便提的。
Because that is not a name to be used in
vain. 所以到现在我们翻译耶和华，有的人说是亚威，不是耶威，不是耶和华，有许多不同的这个解经的事情。
There are different addresses. We call it Yahweh instead of Jehovah.
犹太人一看到耶和华的时候，他不敢念，所以没有人知道应当怎么念那个名字。
And the Jews do not dare to mention this name, so nobody actually knows what is correct pronunciation.
他们用 Adonai 来代替。
They use the word Adonai.
希伯来文 Adonai 什么意思呢
？In Hebrews, what does Adonai mean?
是主啊。
It means my Lord.
耶和华，他不敢念，他说主啊。
They do not dare to use the word Jehovah.
到了诗篇一百一十篇的时候
，When we reach Psalm 110,
耶和华对我主说
，Jehovah says to my Lord.
那么他们念的时候呢，就念的主对我主说
，And when they read it, they say the Lord said to my Lord.
这样就一个主对另外一个主说了
，That is one Lord speaking to another Lord.
主只有一位
，But there is only one Lord.
怎么变成主对我主说呢
？How can the Lord speak to my Lord?
他们从来不要想明白更多。
And they do not want to understand further.
不明白的怎么样，就放在那边。
And they just left it alone.
就成了今天许多基督徒的习惯。
This is a habit that Christians have today.
这些圣经我不明白。
When I do not understand this passage,
怎么办呢？
What do I do?
你说就放在那边。
Let me leave it alone.
放到什么呢？
Until when?
直到耶稣再。
Until Jesus come again.
我就一直让他不懂下去。
It is fine to be ignorant.
保罗说，到那日面对面什么都知清了。
Because Apostle Paul said we will understand at the end.
意思说现在有理由什么都知不清。
It means right now I cannot understand.
那么这一句是很难解释的话语。
This is difficult to understand.
主对我主说。
My Lord said to my Lord.
这就隐藏了神的一体中间是有超过一个位格的可能性。
There is an implicit understanding that there is more than one God.
他们不知道。
They cannot understand this.
那么主对我主说。
The Lord said to my Lord.
你要坐在我的右边。
You are sit on my right hand side.
我使你的仇敌成你的脚凳。
I will make your enemies your footstool.
主对这位主说。
My Lord said to me,
你是我的儿子，我今日生你。
You are my son, I've begotten you.
主对我主说。
The Lord said to my Lord.
我立了誓。
I have sworn.
绝对不后悔。
I will not
change my mind. 我立你做祭司，是按照麦基洗德的等次，永远做祭司。
You are a priest in the order of Melchizedek forever.
所以这句圣经为什么保罗不提，我不知道。
I do not know why the Apostle Paul left this out.
彼得也没有在发挥，我不知道。
Or the Apostle Peter.
但是感谢上帝，希伯来书的作者发挥了这一句话。
But thanks be to the God that author of Hebrews said.
主对我主说。
The Lord said to my Lord.
那么讲这句话的人是谁呀？是大卫。
David was the person who wrote this.
所以大卫说的，主对我的主来说。
David said, "The Lord spoke to my Lord."
那个我的主听到我的主讲什么呢？
And what did this Lord of mine heard?
就是圣父对圣子的讲话。
That is God the Father speaking with God the Son.
圣子是谁呢？
Who is God the
Son? 就是犹太人昼夜祈求、热热仰望要来的弥赛亚。
It's the Messiah that the Jews look forward to.
那么弥赛亚要来。
The Messiah is coming.
什么时候来呢？
When?
他怎样来呢？
How would he come?
他在哪一个支派里面来呢？
From which tribe?
一定是大卫的子孙。
Surely the
descendant. 大卫的子孙啊。
The descendant.
大卫的子孙啊。
The son of David.
我们说耶稣是拿撒勒人。
We say Jesus is Nazareth.
拿撒勒人这句话什么意思？
What does this mean?
因为拿撒勒就是拿撒勒的意思，就是那个枝从干里面伸出来那个意思。
It is a branch from the main stalk.
所以这样的他是大卫的这个根树根里面长出来的。
So he is a root from David.
他是拿撒勒。
He is a Nazareth.
他是大卫的子孙。
The descendant of David.
那么耶稣就问他们了。
And Jesus
asked them. 你们等候的弥赛亚。
What about the Messiah?
是哪里来的？
Where will he come from?
大卫的支派来的。
From the tribe of Judah.
是大卫的子孙吗？
Is that the son of David? Yes.
大卫到现在多久了？
How long has it been?
已经一千年了。
A thousand
years. 他什么时候来呢？
When did he come?
犹太人说我不知道。
The Jews were saying,
no. 他如果再一千年来，
What if we wait for another
1,000 years? 就是更迟更迟的子孙了。
He will be further descendants.
如果他现在来，
If he comes now,
就迟了一千年的孙。
He is a descendant after 1,000 years.
以后来，
Later,
超过一千年的孙。
He will be descendant further.
公元两千年了。
Until now, 2000 AD.
犹太人说弥赛亚还没有来。
The Jews said the Messiah had not
come. 这是很后代、很后代的子孙的。
So it's a descendant way down.
如果他是大卫的子孙。
If he is the son of David.
为什么大卫称他做主呢？
Why did David call him Lord?
他们抓破头皮没有办法。
They could not understand and answer.
所以这样就提到这一位主呢，是比这个大卫更迟来的，是有人性、生在犹大支派中间的主。
This tells us that this Lord is, has a humanity and is from the tribe of Judah.
是主，
He is Lord.
所以他有神性。
Therefore, He's divine.
基督论的神人的奥性早就隐藏在诗篇110篇，也在耶稣基督的启发中间提示过了。
The humanity and divinity of Christ is seen, therefore, from as early as Psalm 110.
所以希伯来书的作者是很伟大的解经家。
The author of Hebrew, therefore, was a great author.
他的智慧的眼睛，他敏感的思想，很容易发现没有人可以发现的奥秘隐藏在哪一节的圣经里面。
His eyes and the wisdom that he have enables him to discover the mystery of all these words.
这样你不奇怪这一节呢，110篇第四节的圣经在希伯来书里好几次一直出现，一直出现。
And so you will not be surprised that Psalm 110 verse 4 appears all the time in Hebrew.
因为这一节是圣经中的圣经。
Because this is a scripture within scripture.
像约翰福音3:16是你所认为的圣经中的圣经一样的。
For example, you think John 3:16 is a scripture among the scriptures. The Lord has sworn.
绝不后悔。
And will not change his mind.
说我立你做祭司。
You are a priest.
是照着墨基西德的等次。
In the order of Melchizedek.
你要永远做祭司。
A priest forever.
所以这一句话是太伟大的表述。
This is a great expression.
在这里他要发挥的基督论。
The Christology we see here.
提到了两件事情。
Tells us of two things.
就是设立的方法。
First, the order of establishment.
责任的效期。
And the effectiveness.
这两件事情就变得很重要。
And these are important things.
因为耶稣做祭司同亚伦后代做祭司是不一样的。
The way Jesus became priest is different from Aaron's descendants.
亚伦后代做祭司。
The descendants of Aaron.
根本没有上帝给他发誓启示来给他。
Became priest without God's swearing.
这个典礼神圣到一个地步。
And this ritual is so sacred.
不是生在那个家庭，在哪一种系统之下，你自然天生做祭司，不是这个意思。
It is not that you will be naturally a priest.
有一个特别的、最高权威的、特殊时刻的、特别的仪式的一个案例才成立起来的。
There is a special ordination at a unique time and space.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
你做一个人
，as a human being，
靠父母长大，靠父母成名，没有什么伟大。
If you are famous because of your parents, there's nothing great about you.
天意注定把你带大的，那就很伟大。
But if you are brought up by the will of heaven, then it's great.
有一次，贝多芬跟歌德两个人在公园里，在维也纳正在谈话散步的时候
，When Beethoven was taking a walk with Gödel in Vienna,
忽然间呢，他们听见远远有一些声音开始出来了。
Suddenly they heard some sound.
原来 Rudolf 王子要经过那个公园。
Because the Prince Rudolf is going to pass by the park.
百姓就很热闹起来。
And then all the people were excited.
跑向前去，夹道欢迎那个 Rudolf 王子经过这个公园。
They wanted to welcome the priest.
公园就这个王子坐着马车。
And the prince was on a car.
一路走来的时候，百姓们在那叫啊，在那里喊啊，在那欢迎他。
And the people were welcoming him.
后来呢，歌德发现 Rudolf。他发现是 Rudolf 王子来到了。
And Gunther understood that it was the Rudolf prince.
他马上结束与贝多芬的谈话。
And he immediately stopped his conversation.
跑到前面去。
And went ahead.
照着当时维也纳奥地利这个诸侯的规矩。
And based on the understanding of the mannerism at that time.
弯腰向 Rudolf 王子来鞠躬。
And he bowed to the prince.
他至少是文人。
And he was a cultural person.
是一个绅士。
And he was a gentleman.
是有教养、有礼貌、有知道传统的贵族。
A royal family.
贝多芬呢，就站在那边睬都不睬。
But Beethoven couldn't care less.
贝多芬也盼望他做贵族，但是没有办法。
He wanted to be of the royal family, but he couldn't do that.
Ludwig von Beethoven, von 跟 van 是不一样的。
Von Beethoven is different from
van. Van 的就是贵族。
Van will refer to the royal.
Von 的不是从那里来，就是这样的。
And von just means come from somewhere else.
他没有办法把 A 改成 O，O 改成 A。
He couldn't just change his name.
所以他的知识和教养也不如像歌德那样的伟大。
And his understanding and education was not as great as Goethe.
但是他心里有一个记号，就像希伯来书一样。
But there is a mark in his heart like the Book of Hebrews.
你的贵族身份，你的伟大是生来的。
That you were great because of your family.
我以后的身份是天定。
But I was set by heaven.
所以你怎么夸口，我也不管你。
It doesn't matter what you boast about.
所以贝多芬不才，就在那边静静的自己在那里思想，在那里行走。
And Beethoven did not care, and he just stood on his own.
歌德就向路德王子鞠躬，很尊敬的，大家都看见了。
And everybody saw Goethe bowing to the prince.
那么王子会不会说贝多芬来，没有礼貌，跟我走？
Did the prince rebuke Beethoven?
我到你到带你到王宫罚站一个钟头。
And bring him back to the palace to punish him.
不是。
He did not do that.
你知道什么事情发生吗
？Do you know what happened?
当歌德鞠躬以后呢
？After Gunther bowed to the prince,
这个王子也向他鞠躬。
The prince bowed back.
有王子就从座位上下来，跳下马车来找贝多芬。
And the prince came down from where he was to look for Beethoven.
他就向贝多芬鞠躬。
And bowed to Beethoven.
全部想有没有搞错啊？
And everybody was confused.
怎么这个王子向贝多芬鞠躬
？How can the prince bow to a common person?
所以当这个王子再坐上马车走过去的时候
，And when the prince moved on later,
人家都围着贝多芬了。
Everybody surrounded Beethoven.
什么事情发生
？And ask what happened.
怎么变成他向你鞠躬
？How can the prince bow to you?
他们就问为什么会这样
？They ask him why.
你知道贝多芬讲什么话吗
？Do you know what Beethoven said?
很多人从来不知道这个事情。
Many people do not know this story.
你听我讲的，你会更聪明一点点。
And you'll be smarter after you hear.
他怎么讲呢
？What did he say?
他说生做王子的机会很多人。
He said that many people can be the prince by birth.
这个路德王子是这些血统中间里面很多这种人里面的一个。
And this prince is just one of the many princes.
但是能够变成贝多芬只有一个。
But there is only one Beethoven.
我不是因为生成的。
I am not born this way.
我是奋斗得到天的赐福而成功。
I fought and received the blessings from heaven.
这句话给我了解到这一节圣经。
I understood this passage from here.
耶稣基督做祭司。
For Jesus Christ to be priest.
跟亚伦的后代的做祭司是绝对不一样的。
That's absolutely different from the descendants of Aaron.
接下去希伯来书的作者就要讲不一样在哪里。
The author of Hebrews then want to tell us what are the differences.
一个笨人常常看一样在哪里。
A stupid person always look at the same things.
每一次看一样在哪里，你就是笨人。
If you always look for the same things, you are not that
smart. 聪明人常常看不一样在哪里。
But an intelligent person want to know the differences.
你明白了吗？
Do you understand this?
有一次呢，有一个很好的唱针呢，叫做 Pickering.
There is an important player needle.
这个不是 needle， 叫 stylus.
A stylus.
所以他常常没有用这个东西打开，因为他比较年轻，一开始就用开始 cassette， 是不是？从前就用唱片的。
It's a stylus or a turntable.
唱片起先是78转的。
And it is a 78 hour.
所以转三分钟半就转完了。
After 3.5 minutes is finished.
你要听贝多芬交响有一次，你要听好几遍。
And you have to listen a long time for Beethoven's work.
你要听这个的这个更长的一段，像马勒，你几十遍才听一个。
And in order to listen to a longer work, you have to put in a lot of
time. 我还没有练神学以前。
Before I studied theology.
那种唱片600多遍都背到脑子里面去了。
I remember 600 over of these words.
所以我每一个礼拜用的针啊，唱针啊，杠针要花几盒。
And I have to keep using up the styluses.
我还音乐到这个程度。
I love music so much.
但是
，However，
等到我用钻石针的时候
，By the time I use stylus made of diamond，
我很满意。
I was very satisfied.
一次用可以转33片，33这个转的片可以转25000次。
A diamond stylus can be used for 25,000 times.
It's the hardest wear in the world.
因为钻石是最硬，
所以呢可以用很久。
And you can use it for a long time.
你现在明白了？
Do you understand?
这个跟那个不一样的。
There is a difference.
但是钻石真的几十种。
But there are many different diamond styluses.
你要买哪一种？
Which type would you want?
你要买最小的最贵。
You must buy the tiniest.
所有的钻石都是最大最贵。
All the diamonds are most expensive and large.
只有这种钻石是最小最贵。
Oh, this is the only exception.
你把五卡拉的拿来用，不能出音乐。
If you use a 5-carat diamond, there's no music.
最细的才能把音乐弄出来。
It must have the smallest.
那么呢，有一种唱这个 Pickering.
There is a type of.
它的广告很吸引我。
Has a good advertisement.
For those who knows the different.
It's for those who know the different.
那些明白不同的人。
For those who understand.
如果你说一样一样，什么都一样，我现在要结婚了，那娶谁不要紧，只要是女的都一样。
You say everything is the same, any woman would do as a wife.
只懂一样的是笨人。
And those who only understand this enough.
能知道不一样的才是聪明人。
If you understand differences, then you are.
他叫做一二三，只懂一样的是笨人，能懂不一样的是聪明人。解经也是如此。
It's the same with Bible study.
教义也是如此。
Or a doctrine.
听音乐是如此。
Or listening to music.
听出不一样在哪里，你就聪明。
You are intelligent if you can sense the differences.
进化论是人跟猴子很像，所以笨人。
The evolutionist say man is the same.
基督徒说人跟猴子不一样，所以基督徒是聪明人。
And the Christians are smart to understand this.
For those who know the difference, Amen. 好了，希伯来书说你知道原则是这样啦。
The author of Hebrews say you understood the principles.
所有的祭司都是一样。
All the priests are the same.
耶稣是不一样的。
But Jesus was different.
所以祭司都是生在祭司家庭。
All the priests came from the family of priests.
耶稣不是。
But Jesus was not.
所以祭司都在律法的条例里面。
The priests are under the system of the law.
耶稣不是。
But Jesus was not.
所以你知道这个不一样的时候。
When you understood the differences.
那你说，那是不是还不一样的我都接受呢？
Does that mean that anything that's different I accept?
不是。
No.
你在不一样中间要找出样与样之间的真正的原样的本样。
You must understand the true purpose and the true essence of the differences.
这个不一样，因为它是原样。
This is different because it is original.
这个不一样是相样。
And that one is different because it's the same.
还有一些是不相样。
But those some are even worse.
本样像样不像样，中间的不同就是本样是那一切样像不像的原样。这个英文难得不得了。那你现在慢慢听出我要讲什么了？我现在讲一件更可怕的事情给你。
Let me tell you something more terrifying.
当你买东西的时候，
When you buy something,
用真价钱买假东西，你 对不对啊？
You use the right price to buy a fake object, is that right?
你买过吗？
Have you bought things like that?
真正贵的价钱买一个假的东西。
You bought something fake in the real price.
你说你买到假表啦。
Then you said that watch is
fake. 你用的是假的 Rolex.
It's a fake Rolex.
我不要紧，我很高兴。为什么呢？因为我用很便宜的钱买到。
And you always are happy because you said I bought it cheap.
假价钱买假东西也不错。
So you use a fake price to buy a fake.
真价钱买假东西。大错特错。
But if you use the real price to buy a fake good, then you have made a big mistake.
那么是不是一分钱一分货呢？
Is it true that everything is worth?
当然不是的。
Of course not.
因为今天你听这么好的解经，你没有付钱，就表示不是一分钱一分货。
For example, you're not paying anything for this.
那么呢，我从来不相信一分钱一分货。
I've never believed in this.
因为我常常把最好的东西给人，不向人要钱。
Because I always give for the best without asking for money.
耶稣的恩典是这样。
The grace of Jesus was like that.
他把最好的救恩给我们。
He gave us the greatest salvation.
是白白给我们。
It's free.
是免工的。
It is without works.
不靠条件的。
It is without any condition.
We are unconditionally elected.
所以我们是没有情况、没有条件之下被拣选。
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
那现在我讲到更详细的地步。
I want to go to further details.
你知道世界拍卖行最出名的两个是什么呢？
What are the two most important auction houses?
一个是 Sotheby.
One is Sotheby.
还有一个是什么？
The other one.
你不知道？
Do you know?
不知道。Christie.
Christie.
你不知道？你只知道了这个 Orchard Road Shopping Plaza, 啊 ，Lucky Plaza 就这样。那这两个最大最高级的拍卖行
，These are the two most important auction houses.
他们卖的古董
，The antiques that they sell.
他们过几年起两倍起三倍
，Always rise in its valuation.
有人在苏格兰一个旧房子里面找到一个灯下面的这个瓷器。
Somebody found a porcelain in a house in Scotland.
被鉴定是明朝初期，元朝结束以后所做的最完美的琉璃红。
It was certified as the most important porcelain at the beginning of the Ming Dynasty.
后来带到这个 Christie 来。
And it was brought to the auction house Christie.
不久以后被卖掉。
After a while, it was sold off.
是差不多等于几十万英镑。
It was several hundred thousand English pounds.
给一个香港的中国人买去。
A Hong Kong businessman bought it.
89年以后。
After 1989.
被拍卖出来的变成700万美金。
It became $7 million.
再过几年再卖的时候。
A few years later.
变成1000多万美金。
It became more than $10 million.
因为真品应当有真价才对。
Because the genuine item has a genuine price.
真正收获的人。
And those who understand this,
这是真东西。
Will say that this is real.
这是好东西。
This is good stuff.
这是五百多年的东西。
This is something 500 years old.
是用铜烧到1300度才出了这种红色。
It is some the color has to be from a very stringent method.
不是，是用铜，是 copper.
Using copper.
是 copper 把它烧到1300度就变成 red 红色出来了。
And the red color comes when copper is burned 1300 degrees.
但是烧的过程中间呢
，In the process itself,
氧气的条件。并不能差出一点点。
You cannot make mistake in the adjustment of oxygen.
无论太多或者太少。
When you exceed,
颜色会变化。
The color will change.
所以如果变化的时候
，When the color changes,
红色可能完全消失到做的半死，一完全崩溃，完全没有果效。
The red color could disappear completely.
如果太深的话
，But if the color is deeper,
红色失去了变成 chocolate 的颜色，难看的不得了。
You will become chocolate color.
反正那一个东西被发现的时候
，But when that particular antique was discovered,
从头到尾看见真正出红色，凝整到一个地步，是千古难得的一件作品。
It was a work that has such consistency that it can never be found again.
再比，没有一个博物馆的能比那个。
Not a single item in the world can be compared to it.
越来越高，越来越高。
And so the prices kept rising.
这是真品。
This is genuine item.
绝对可靠。
Absolutely trustworthy.
好，现在我要问你啊。
Let me ask you this now.
如果这个真品丢失了怎么办呢？
If you lose this item, what will you do?
很可惜。
It will be a waste.
这一件真品唯一的毛病是什么呢？
The only problem with this.
就是它下面穿了一个洞。
Is that there's a hole at the bottom?
因为做一个灯在造需要一个自动机，所以把它翻动。
Because it was made into a lamp.
那起初做灯的人不知道那是古董。
And the person who made the lamp in the beginning did not know
this. 所以他做了一个刀灯罩，就为了方向 lost the quality.
And he drew the hole and lost some quality.
好，我现在不谈太多这个事情了。
I'm not going to speak
too much on it. 因为每一门学问都可以谈很久的东西。
We can talk a long time on any topic.
那么台北有全世界最好的中国瓷器的博物馆。
And Taipei has the best museum of Chinese porcelain.
蒋介石怕共产党拿去。
It was because Chiang Kai-shek was afraid that the communists would take it.
几千包，几万包。
And they wrapped it all up.
然后从中国的北京到蒙古，再到新疆，再转到云南，最后带到台北去。
And they took it all the way from Beijing through a big route all the way to
Beijing. And
there were no communists along the way.
免得被消灭掉。
So that you will not be destroyed.
现在在台北故宫博物馆。
And now it's in a museum in Taipei.
那你知道什么事情吗？故宫博物馆有时候就把一些东西带出去，在台南、台中、高雄、恒春、东港这个什么地方就展览了。
And there are always exhibitions all over Taiwan.
那么大家就可以看中国的国宝是什么东西。
So that people can understand the national treasure, that they are the best,
是完美的
perfect,
是绝对的
absolute.
但是
however,
有一个人告诉我
there's a person who tells me
常常带去的是假的
that they always bring out fake stuff.
为什么呢
why?
因为如果国宝打破或者被偷掉永远没有了不能够所以要叫人去做到一样样像的不得了99.9% 像的拿去做展览就是明朝鸡缸杯成化年桌
They are afraid that the national treasure will be destroyed so they make something that is really like the real thing
展览会就卖票了
And then the exhibition will sell tickets
人家就看了
Everybody will come
哇我才知道原来是这样的
And then I'll know that is the case
颜色跟我印的书是不一样的
The color is different from the book
所以那些看的时候眼睛睁得很大
People look at it carefully
一边看一边
They keep appreciating it
假的
but it's fake
你说可怜不可怜他这还是假的
no matter what you do
不因为这就变成真的
just because you appreciate it will not be real
那么当人对我这样讲的时候
when the person told me this
我问他真的有这样的事吗
I ask him is it true
博物馆可以用假东西代表真的东西去做展览吗
can a museum exhibit things that are fake
那个人说是
that person said yes
而且做这个假的厉害到一个地步
and they are so good at faking it
这个人呢政府特别定他的叫他做的后来我找到这个人
and this person was specially appointed by the government to do this
我怎么会找到这个人呢
how could I find him
我在道生神学院讲到的时候
when I was preaching at 道生 seminary
下来的时候
after I came down
就在附近看到一个制瓷很特别的工厂
I saw this porcelain factory
后来一谈才知道那个主人就是那个人对我说的那个人
And when I found, spoke to the person, I understood that he was the person.
我就进去跟他谈。
I went in to speak to him.
谈中国瓷器的事情。
And talk about porcelain.
结果呢，他跟我谈了三个钟头半。
He spoke to me for 3.5 hours.
中国古董，中国瓷器，又再拿出一个东西给我，我吓了一跳。
And he took out something that shocked me.
一个元朝很好的东西在他手里。
A very beautiful thing from the Yuan Dynasty.
我看他的屁股。
And I look at it.
看人看面孔看古董看屁股你懂吗
When I look at the bottom of the antique
尺你翻过来
and turn it around
后面的情形泥土的本质那个味道都不是普通的是真的是古董
I saw that it was a genuine item
他说唐先生
he said Mr. Tom
那是假的
it's a fake one
我说不可能
I said no
你真正它的底是真的
because I look at the bottom it looks real
只有底是真的
he said only the bottom is real
其他部分是我做的
everything I made it
那我就眼睛睁着大起来了
and my eyes look upon him
你怎么会这么做呢
how can you do this
香港有一个人有这个古董打破了但是底还好好的
he said in Hong Kong there's someone who owned this and broke it
全世界看中国古董一定从底先看的
and I know that everybody will start from the bottom
为什么呢
why
两个原因
two reasons
因为底有一部分是不上釉的
Because there is a portion that is not lacquered.
所以可以辨认出那个时代的泥土是怎样的。
And you can understand the quality of the soil at that time.
第二
Second,
年代久远之后，它的干度跟重量是可以从底那边可以看出端倪的。
After a long time, you can understand the detail of the project from the. 而
且，底如果从明朝有常常就有环、有圆圈或者四方写下是哪一个朝代写的。那些字怎么写一定有规格的
and after the Ming Dynasty there is a certain order of what they will write at
比如说
for example,
宣德年做的的中间一定没有一划痕
a certain word the in the 宣德 name will be missing a
certain line 陈化年代的陈当然一篇一定在一字的刚好一半
all the character in 陈化年 will be missing certain
这些都是很多的很深的学问
and these are all deep understanding
那么这些不是西方来说
this is not Hebrew
所以你不要听了变成中国文化了我要讲的是希伯来书
I'm talking about Hebrews here
那么这个人的底还在他就寄到这里来
And the,
知道我会做好东西,
because this person knew that I could restore it, so he sent me the bottle.
很多的钱叫我替他做上面,
and he spent a lot of money asking me to restore it.
我弄到几乎天衣无缝,
and it's almost perfect.
所以唐先生你看不出来,
so you could not tell the difference.
这不是真的,
this is not real.
只有底是真的,
only the bottom is real.
我才知道我学问不大,
then I know that I'm quite ignorant.
我佩服他不得了,
and I knew he was a great person.
哇,他可以做到像到这个地步,
he could fake it so well.
我真的非常佩服,
I was really appreciated. Then I remember this.
犹太人拿了律法的时候,
when the Jews received the law and said, this is real, this is the genuine item, and the bottom looks real, and
it's
written by God, this is real, this is written by God, this is the genuine item, we are satisfied, we cannot change this. The author himself
will change, 因为这个祭司已经改了,
because the priesthood has changed.
犹太人气得要命,
the Hebrews were angry.
那么结果要谁来解决这个问题呢?
But who will solve this problem?
要上帝自己来解决,
God himself will solve it.
是我改的,
that I would do one change.
也是我做的,
God said I made the bottom.
但是那上面的是不是原本的,
but that is on top, is not original.
为什么不是原本的?
Why?
是人犯罪以后需要律法,
because of the sin of man, I added upon it.
是我写的,
I wrote it.
是真品,
it is real.
这个本来是真品,
this is originally real, but it is not in my eternal will.
那你听懂了吗?
Have you understood this?
今天这个关键你懂了, 你对这一段圣经图下面的意思你就很清楚了,
when you understand this juncture, you will understand the subsequent passages. Because all the priesthood,
虽然是神定下来,
although set by God,
这不是眼前的句话,
was not from the original plan.
律法的典范,
the example of the law,
是神赐下来的,
it was given by God,
不是永恒的旨意,
but it is not in his eternal view.
保罗也明白这一点,
the apostle Paul understood,
保罗的讲法跟他不一样,
but he explained it differently.
保罗只能说律法是外添的,
he says that the law is added on externally.
因为犯了罪才赐下律法,
it was needed because of our sins.
因为没有赐下律法, 人也不知道什么叫做罪,
without law we would not know what is a sin.
律法只要把上帝的圣洁良善公义彰显出来,
and the law will show us the righteousness and holiness.
世人自己知道不善不义不洁,
then we will know that we are unrighteous.
是保罗发挥了一大堆关于律法的事情,
and Paul spoke a lot about it.
但是希伯来书的作者说,
but the author of Hebrews says,
整个祭司的制度已经改了,
the whole system of the priesthood has
changed. 律法也要改,
and there must also be a
change. 那保罗讲的最终的一句话是什么呢?
The most bold sentence of Paul,
凡是在律法里面不能靠着得救的人都可以在耶稣基督里面得救,
is that all of us who cannot have salvation through the law have salvation through Jesus Christ.
你的律法把全人类都圈在罪里面,
because the law condemns all of us.
耶稣基督把救恩超过律法的赐下来,
but Jesus Christ gave us grace above the law.
所以我们得救不是靠着立功之法,
and we are saved not because of our works,
我们得救乃是靠着信主之法,
but because we believe in him.
保罗讲到哪里就结束了,
and the apostle Paul ended,
只说律法是迅猛的致富, 把我们带到主那里去,
and tells us that the law will lead us to God.
希伯来书的作者更绝, 更勇敢, 更肯定地说,
but the author of Hebrew was even more bold and said that the law must change.
更改,
it must change.
祭司的制度既然改了, 律法也要更改,
since the system of the priest has changed, the law must change.
勇敢到一个地步,
he was so bold.
他说律法一无所成,
he says that the law did not accomplish perfectness, that it has to go away.
哇,
I was afraid when I studied this.
希伯来书的作者用这么绝的口气, 这么勇敢, 这么大的挑战, 这种精神来面对那些把律法绝对化的犹太人,
he was so courageous facing the Hebrews that treated the law as absolute.
你读希伯来书好像没有什么可以差飞的,
when you read the book of Hebrews it seems very normal.
好像不知道讲什么祭洗的, 我不认识, 我只认识墨西珍,
you say that it's something about Melchizedek all the time.
就墨西洗的是什么的,
who was this word Melchizedek?
我告诉你很重要的,
it is, he was very important.
有一个永恒的,
because there's an eternal,
常年活着的,
the one who lived forever,
是神所立的,
the person set by God,
祭司,
a priest like that,
无主仆,
he has no genealogy,
无父,
no father,
无母,
no mother,
无生之死,
no beginning,
无命之主,
and no end.
这位像耶稣的,
this person who was like Jesus, he was like the Son of God.
感谢上帝,
thanks be to God.
这个次序绝对不模糊,
the order was clear,
这个重点绝对不妥协,
the emphasis was not compromised.
墨西洗的是与上帝的儿子相识,
Melchizedek was like the Son of God. The author of Hebrew didn't say that the Son of God was like Melchizedek. From the order of these things, that should not be. How can you say Confucius was like you? You can say you are like Confucius. You cannot say that a person you look like your grandchild. He will slap you.
你只能说你的孙子很像，对不对？
You can say your grandchild look like you.
因为墨子洗德是在亚伯兰时代的被尊重的一个大祭司。
Melchizedek was a priest of great honor at the times of Abraham.
耶稣是后来大卫子孙里面生下来的。
But Jesus was from the descendants of David.
但是希伯来书的作者说什么呢？
But the author of Hebrews says,
墨子洗德 与上帝的儿子相似，
well,
他不是说与那个拿撒勒人耶稣相似，
like the Son of God and not like Jesus of Nazareth.
所以这里是因为基督的神性，所以的超越墨迹洗德。
Because of the divinity of Jesus, he surpasses Melchizedek.
墨迹洗德是相似耶稣基督，不是耶稣基督相似墨迹洗德。
So he was like Son of God, not the other way around.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
今天我再发挥这一段更深一层的意思的时候，
when I understand this in depth,
你明白了，
then you understand it.
再读这一段的时候，
when we study this,
你就更抓紧总原则了。
We will get hold of the general principle.
今天我们再读好不好呢？
Let us study it again.
我们从第十一节再读，
from verse 11,
一直读到第18节，
until verse 18.
好，我们一同来读。 从前百姓在立位人祭司这人以下受律法， 倘若借着这人得以完全， 又何用另外兴起一位祭司，照墨迹洗德的等次，不照亚伦的等次呢？祭司的责任既已更改，律法也什么必须更改。接下去，说值得人本属别的支派，那支派里从来没有一个人事后祭坛。我们的主分明是从犹大出来的。 但这支派摩西并没有提到祭司。倘若照墨迹洗德的样式，另外兴起一位祭司来，我的话更是显而易见了。他成为祭司，并不是照着属肉体的条例，乃是照着无穷生命的大能。第17节，1、2、3，因为有给他做见证的说，你是照着墨迹洗德的等次，永远为祭司。 现在，故宫博物馆的人站出来了。
And now the representative of the museum in Taipei stood up.
你们所看的古董，
and said that the antiques you are seeing
是从故宫发出来的。
It truly come from the museum.
我承认，
I recognize this.
那不是原版。
But that is not the original.
你说那原版在哪里？
Where is the original then?
就像墨迹洗德那边。
It was at the back.
所以你今天要进到神。 总原则去看神永恒的预备是什么？
So we want to understand the eternal will of God by His general principle.
亚伦的后代，
the descendant of Aaron,
所有的祭司，
all the priests,
都是非原版。
They are not the original.
原版是另外一位。
The original was someone else.
那一位什么时候出现的？
When did this person appear?
以后出现。
He will appear later.
为什么以后出现的？
Why would he appear later?
一定要以后出现。
It must be the case.
先赐下律法了。 以后另外再定的时候就可以否定律法。Because
after the law has been given and then you set another priest, you can turn the law around.
现在律法的重要性一定要被推翻掉。The
importance of the law must be overturned.
律法的绝对终极性一定要被否认掉。The
absolute concept must be denied.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为那不是原本。Because
that is not original.
那原本根据什么呢？
What about the original?
就是上帝曾经有过一次。
It is based on the one-time work of God.
给亚伯拉罕机会看见墨迹洗德。
Who allowed Abraham to see Melchizedek?
那个时候没有亚伦。
At that time, Aaron was not in existence.
那个没有立位支派。
There is no Levi tribe.
那个时候还没有祭司制度。
There is no system of the priest.
所以那以后来的，原在他以前，又按明白这个道理。
That which came later was from the original.
在我以后来的，原在我以前。
And John understood this.
那你明白了吗？
Do you understand?
约翰的重要性。
The importance of John
他把旧约带到新约的时候，
was that he brought old to the New Testament.
总结了旧约的有限性。
He concluded the Old Testament.
提出了新约的无限性。
And she was the unlimited New Testament.
中间的旧约的暂时性,
he concluded the temporal status of the Old Testament.
指出了新约的永恒性,
and pointed out the eternal nature of the New Testament.
在我以后来的,
and that which will come after me
原在我以前,
came from before.
这很像大卫说他的子孙原来是他的主,
it is like David saying his descendant was his Lord.
子孙是以后来的,
the descendants come later.
主是永远的,
but the Lord is eternal.
所以呢,以法大,
and so Ephraim,
你这个伯利恒城啊,
Bethlehem,
你是在众城里面最小的,
you are the smallest among all the cities.
但是, 将来有一位要从你那里出来,
but from among you will arise a person,
他的根源从根骨, 从太初就有了,
who are from ancient days and from the beginning.
你看到了吗?
Have you seen this?
全本圣经的一致性,
the consistency of the Bible. Jesus Christ is not just Jesus of history. Or he existed for 30 odd years in time space. We understand Christology from the physical Jesus Christ into the eternal will of God.
有这样认识的人,
a person who understands this
就很靠近希伯来书作者的心态,
will be very close to what the author of Hebrew was thinking about. The closed system of the Hebrews, they are arrogant. They were suited to
do
that. They were
boasting.
They are self-arrogant. It's understandable.
犹太人对律法的执着,
they are persistence in the law. From the angle of faith, we can understand. But God does not save us within religion itself. God saved us within salvation plan of His. Hebrews. Do you want to hold on to the law? The priests have changed. The law must change as well. The Old Testament must go. Because this is not the original. This is a replica. When the original comes, you must get rid of the replica. When the sun rises, you can blow away the candle. Because it is no longer important. And this book prepares us into the New Testament. And there are greater proclamations.
什么话呢?
What sort of proclamation? That is verse 18.
大家一同读18, 19节,
18 and 19.
所以毁掉了，谁敢讲这话？
Who dared to proclaim this?
耶稣都没有这样大的口气。
Jesus himself did not say this.
耶稣莫想我来是废掉律法和先知。
Jesus said, do not think that I come to get rid of the law. I come to accomplish it.
连耶稣都说律法不能废掉，希伯来书的怎么这么大胆？
How can the author of Hebrew therefore be so bold?
所以我刚才说这是很可怕。
So earlier I said this was a terrifying but a great proclamation. I will explain the further irony later.
第19节,
verse 19.
一同来读, 原来律法一无所成, 就引进了更美的指望, 靠着指望, 我们可以坦然进到上帝的面, 这就开端, 要解释第四章第六章所提到的基督进到圣所的事情。
And this will explain further chapter 4, chapter 6 of how Jesus entered into the inner sanctuary.
下个礼拜,
next week,
我要与大家思想亚伦祭司的体系和耶稣做祭司不同的地方在哪。
I want to discuss with you the differences between the concept of Aaron's priesthood and that of Jesus Christ.
当我们听完之后,
after we listen to this,
我们会更明白我们的主。
We will understand our Lord further. We will love Him more. We will be closer to Him. And we will be even more proud of Him. May the Lord bless us all. Let us pray. Let us stand up together.
十字架, 又是我的荣耀, 我从罪都洗净。